So what's your New Orleans story? How did you get here and how do you like it?
Well, I had visited a bunch of times and really loved it because I did my PhD in Tallahassee, so I would drive over a lot. So when I was offered the position at Loyola to teach creative writing, I kind of just canceled all my other interviews and took the job, and I was so excited to be here, and it's been amazing.
Now, why did you choose YA fiction for your first novel?
It was sort of an accident. I wrote a book with a teenage protagonist, and she didn't have an older, retrospective voice looking back on the experience.
So tell us about the other inspiration for this book, which is your hometown. Introduce us to Taylor and her family and her friends.
Hopewonk, Massachusetts is based on my hometown, Marshfield. And all of the characters are completely fictional, but I really wanted to write about the experience of growing up as a lesbian in the 90s in a small town. And it kind of came about because I was writing a different novel, which was not YA. And I was really interested in this one side character. And so I realized I was writing the wrong book. And I kind of pulled that character out and just rewrote the whole thing with her as the main character. I'm just interested in her as the mean girl being the protagonist, a character that I feel is usually flat and one-dimensional in other books and films. So I really wanted to explore the insecurities of that character.
Now, the coming out story is a particularly important one for LGBTQ readers. So are there any coming out stories that meant a lot to you as a reader?
When I was in high school and in my early 20s, I kept looking for something that was not totally depressing in terms of lesbian fiction. I just remember reading The Well of Loneliness, which is called The Well of Loneliness, and just
and
thinking,
it's very depressing.
Yeah, like I'm screwed, I guess, was kind of how I felt. But then there was the book Annie on My Mind, which by Nancy Gardner, which is the first YA book about lesbians ever to be published. It was 1982. That book kind of made me feel like it wasn't all hopeless, and I sort of wanted to continue that, which is a great thing also about YA, is even if the ending's not happy, there's kind of a kernel of hope at the end of the book.
So talk a little bit about the dedication to this book.
Yeah, I dedicated it to my high school class, who I really love all. I mean, I really love them, and I think very fondly of them. I also know that I was not the only lesbian in my grade. None of us were out, but there are others. There are more than just me. And I think that they shaped who I am in a huge way, in good ways. While none of the characters in the book are based on real, actual people, I definitely wanted to kind of capture the feeling of my school.
So read the dedication.
It's dedicated to the class of Marshfield High School, class of 2003. Stay cute and cool.
Stay cute and cool. It's very high school.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other things you do in this book is capture all the dilemmas of adolescence, you know, of body awareness, the whole idea of physical beauty. Taylor is a very beautiful person, and everybody assumes this is going to make life easier for her, but it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest inspiration I had for writing this particular character, who is not me in any way, but I do think that a lot of queer books focus on the outcast, a lot of high school books just in general.
Right.
I do think that people don't discuss the ways in which traditional physical beauty can be a threat to everyone and the ways in which it did make Taylor's life a lot more difficult in that situation. No matter what she does, she can't really escape it. So yeah, I think that it's also frustrating to see that character flattened over and over and over. And going back to my high school class, I know that every single one of us had insecurities, huge insecurities, no matter what we looked like, no matter what our sexual orientation was. So I just really wanted to show, even though she does really bad things, and this is one of the frustrations of young adult and what I love about it, is you don't have the pressure of that older retrospective voice looking back on these experiences to kind of reflect on them and think, this was a horrible thing that I did, or a horrible thought that I had, or horrible like outing somebody else is just a terrible thing to do. But it is also freeing to be in the teenage mind and kind of not have to have that retrospective voice. But it does also create a difficulty with making a likable character who I'm sure when she's older will definitely look back on this. And even as it's going, she's looking back on these experiences with regret and sadness. But she doesn't have the adult framework.
So one of your responsibilities at Loyola is editing the New Orleans Review, which is a beloved literary journal. And it's one of those jobs where you have the job for a little while, but the New Orleans Review will go on and on and on. So talk about the challenges and the pleasures of doing that kind of work.
It's intimidating to take over something with such a rich history. But one of the things that I find really exciting about it is the fact that it's one of just a handful of undergraduate-run national literary journals. And I really have been trying to utilize that. And one of the things I've done is I have all of the interviews now conducted by current Loyola students or recent graduates. And it's been really amazing to connect these young artists with established artists and also to branch out and interview people who are not just writers, but also visual artists and actors and directors and musicians. And so that's some changes I've made that have been really, really fun. But yes, it's definitely intimidating when I look over the fact that we've published so many amazing people, including so many of my heroes. I hope that I can do justice to the journal.
We've been talking with Lindsay Sprawl, whose new novel is We Were Promised Spotlights.